to Aramis. There's a drive. Deep left center. Cubs win. They win it. Ramirez, two-run shot. Oh, baby.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the fifth episode of the Bleed and Blue podcast. It has been a minute since we recorded our last episode. The Cubs have actually played 21 games. It's kind of crazy as that sounds, but I'm here with my boys, Will McClory and Ryan Herrera. How are we doing today, gentlemen?
Doing good. Doing good.
You know, pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, what? We got finals week come and gone, graduations come and gone, even though Will's the only one that actually graduated.
Hey, dude, shout out quick shout out to the University of Missouri for granting me my red shirt. Fifth year red shirt, give me one more.
Fair enough. You know, I had so much fun at Mizzou for 4 years, I just had to stay for a fifth.
Yeah, dog, I'm right there with you, bud. Yeah, Big Will, congrats on graduating. But let's get some opening thoughts about the Cubbies in these last 21 games. They have a 13-8 record. What do you guys think about the Cubs play as of late?
Up and down. We have to throw it all the way back to when we swept the Cardinals. We haven't talked about anything since then, but that was awesome. How great was it to go 3-0 against St. Louis, and probably even better for you guys down there in Missouri.
Oh yeah, I was shit talking. I mean, when Hendricks threw that 81 pitch complete game shutout, that was one of the best pitching performances I've actually ever watched. And I'm glad I got to sit down and watch that game live.
Yeah, and the next day, Taylor Davis game, grand slam. That was senior bar crawl night.
Oh man.
We're trying to watch the game with the bars. All of a sudden, Taylor Davis hits that bomb, and who else hit that? I think Javi hit the game winner, didn't he, that day? Pretty sure.
Oh, it was a while ago, but crazy. You have to tell the world about the senior bar crawl theme.
Oh, senior bar crawl theme. So if you guys have not seen the picture of Dwayne the Rock Johnson from the 90s with –
it's the most classic 90s picture ever.
The black turtleneck, light wash jeans, the black fanny pack, the belt, you know, the chain. All over, the nice little wristwatch going on. Honestly, like if you could see the picture and you look under his left elbow, he actually has a napkin under there to keep the elbow on the black turtleneck from getting dirty. So,
that's a clean man.
We went all out, and yeah, no, it was amazing fucking time, dude. Had such a great time.
Yeah, I mean, hell of a good time seeing the Cubs beat the Cardinals on a fucking bar crawl. That's a bender right there. Yeah, so we got the sweep, ended up with a 13-5 victory in the third game of that series. That's when we had those 10 home games in a row, and we did take advantage of those 10 home games. We had four against the Marlins. We lost the opener of that series, but we did manage to come back and win the next three. So, I mean, we took advantage of the Marlins earlier in the year, kind of took advantage of them once again. That was nice to see, especially at home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you play the Marlins, you got to beat them. What's their record right now? I think it's 16-31. 16-31.
Yeah.
This is when you know they're bad. They're 9-17 at home.
Jesus Christ.
They probably have 917 people at their games, at their home games.
I mean, everybody knew they were going to be awful, but
dude, I still just can't believe they traded away Marcelo Zuna, JT Realmuto, Christian Yelich, and Giancarlo Stanton. And they just, like, have been ass. Always.
I remember seeing on Twitter, they like, or I forgot where it was, they like put together a lineup of all the guys the Marlins had traded away in the last few years. And that honestly was a World Series contending game.
Seriously, they've traded away two of the top seven in ERA this year. They've traded away to other teams. Plus, they have Caleb Smith, who is fifth in ERA, which is weird. But they trade away, great, get this trade, Chris Paddock, who's third in the MLB in ERA. They traded him away for Fernando Rodney.
Oh, baby. How old is Fernando Rodney? He's got to be like 42 years old.
Oh, he's got to be old. But
I actually am going to give
that a quick Google.
It wasn't
that long ago.
It's just crazy. Like, they trade away Giancarlo Stanton. It's like 59 homers with the Yankees. They trade away Christian Yelich. He wins MVP with the Brewers. It's like, it really can't get any worse for them.
Even D. Gordon. Like, D. Gordon's a pretty good player.
I have him on my fantasy team. He's a jack of all trades. Dude, Fernando Rodney is 42 years old. He's born in 1977.
Yeah. And that trade wasn't that long ago. I mean,
why is Fernando Rodney still playing? Actually, like, I feel like he was actually, I feel like he's not that bad, at least a couple years ago. Remember when he was the Rays closer and he was like good, and then the Cubs got him and he was really bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was all right in 2015. He was all right.
He was okay. I shouldn't have said really bad, but
that
I
trade
feel
was
like
in 2016 though. So that trade was after he was
like they traded him away for 40-year-old Fernando Rodney.
Right.
Well, was that a Derek Jeter trade?
I think so.
Had to be.
Honestly, it was.
Oh, man. Okay. He has had a fucking rough start to his non-baseball playing career. But, yeah, so the Cubs were able to, you know, sweep – or not sweep, take 3 of 4 against the helpless Marlins. And then we had the big series at home against the Brewers, who we've been neck and neck with them for, you know, the last month or so now. Had that tough 7-0 loss in the opener of that series, but it was nice to see the Cubbies bounce back with 2 wins against the Brewers, who are right on our tail in the division right now, boys.
Yeah, so that game two, the 2-1 victory that went – I don't even know how many innings. That was went forever, but that was our 14. Senior bar crawl. So
you guys have a scene for that one?
For that one, yeah. I just remember we went to one bar, and then when we went to the next one, they told me they didn't have the Cubs game.
What?
Yeah, even though they had it at the other one. I'm pretty sure you can get it. You have TVs, but they whatever. So we pulled that up on someone's phone, and we were watching it.
Well, kind of a good sign. What, 13-8 in our last 21, that – loss to the Brewers was the only time we lost by more than 3 runs. So, I mean, we're always in a safe situation. We're always right there.
Right. And we got to give a shout out to Tyler Chatwood, because he went off in that game, but he's been awesome out of the bullpen.
Dude, he's now Tyler. He's Tyler Chatgood. He's not Tyler Chatwood. He's Tyler Chatgood.
Tyler Chatgood. He went 4 innings of relief and extras that one against the Brewers.
Yeah.
Dude, 15 inning marathon. With him, but I love it. I mean, he are one of our most reliable guys on the Fed.
I mean,
he's got a 2.86 ERA. His walk numbers, he's got 18 walks in 28 innings. I mean, it's not ideal, but he's got more strikeouts than walks. Like, it's not terrible. So he's 3-0. Like,
I mean, I'm a fan of the Tyler Chatwood and the Dylan Maples guys, but
yeah,
if Dylan Maples can make strikes, it, man,
yeah, well, that was that's Tyler the thing Chatwood's about problem before, but. I mean, they avoid contact.
I mean, yeah, that's true. But walks are frustrating, but definitely good to see Tyler Chatwood have this bounce back year. I mean, obviously we'll have that Cub fan bias, and I've just seen a lot of it just from Cubs fans, like saying he's like the most improved player. Obviously, he's not going to be in that race, but like he has definitely made a big jump.
Yeah, a huge double yesterday too.
Yeah, what the
Phillies.
Dude, our pitchers be hitting. Remember when you hit the single? I was going nuts when you, Darvish, hit that single. The dugout was going crazy. I saw Rizzo. He was, like, crying in the bench.
We haven't had a pitcher who rakes since Jake left, though. It's kind of upsetting.
Man. Yeah.
I know.
Chatwood's the next closest guy, though. He had a double in Arizona earlier this year. He's got two doubles on the year.
Hendricks had a two-hit game not too long ago. He had a couple RBIs.
Yeah. We don't have anyone who can hit bombs, though.
Pitchers who rake. All right,
dude.
Move on.
I miss Travis Wood.
True.
Keep it going.
We can't sit in the past. We can't sit in the past too long, boys.
Let's keep it going. Next series after that was the Reds.
Yeah, the Reds. That was the only series loss. That's the only series loss we had in our last 21 games.
Dropped 2 of them. That's just.
Can't be playing.
We let a couple get away, you know.
I mean, the Reds aren't terrible for a last-place team. They're 23-27. They're only 6.5 back of the Cubs, which is just crazy to say. We were talking about that a little bit earlier. The last place and first place differential in the NL Central is closer than it is between the first place and second place teams in the AL West and the AL Central. So, like, the Reds, like, yeah, obviously they're in last place, but, like, it's not like they're a good ball club. They're a capable ball club. So.
Oh, for sure.
And especially
Suarez,
with this series.
Suarez is a hell of a player.
I want to hit Suarez in the back.
Of course, I'm saying that because he beat us today, too. But he's really good.
Yeah, you and Henio?
NL Central, best division in baseball. Been that way for a long time.
Dude, I feel like all – just, like, for some reason, all – should like, in our area for every sports, divisions just be tough out here. Like, it's no gimmies. Like, I swear to God. Yeah. Like, hockey's North, tough as fuck. The NFC North is always a fucking brutal dogfight just because Aaron Rodgers is always going to be – all right, I'm not going to talk about football, but – but it's just – I just feel like we're always in tough divisions. Like, we never get it easy. Like, the cakewalk of, like, the AL West, like, the Astros are just dominating out there. Like, the AL Central, the Twins are somehow the best team in the MLB because they play in a dog shit division.
But
we don't get those cakewalks. But at the same time, that's like kind of good. You want to play good teams. Like, you got to beat the best to be the best. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, we'll see the Cubbies beat the Reds in this upcoming series, not fall to them like they did last time they played. And then we moving on to the series against the Washington Nationals. We got a nice win in that series opener, 14-6. Dropped the middle game, but then was able to win the rubber match. So another series win for the Cubbies, continue rolling. I mean, the Nationals are trash, so good to see that series win for sure.
Yeah, that Sunday night game, the 6-5, win. That was the one. Cishek two and a third innings for the save. So he was huge in that one. That was good to see.
Right. And then while we split four game series of the Phillies. And Will, you were actually at game.
I was the Arrieta return game.
Talk about that.
Damn, that's awesome.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So the best part might have been just having the standing ovation for Arrieta. That was cool.
That was so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it started as like a little bit of a clap, and then everybody got into it. It was really cool. It was a cold game though. That one was a little cold.
that's early baseball season weather.
McCutcheon's controversy.
We should have had that dub, but
there was a couple times where we were that close from just winning the game, and then
I was texting you back and forth, and it felt like a roller coaster ride of a game. It was like, oh, Descalso had that huge inside the park.
Descalso with the Little League home run.
Yeah, the Little League World Series or the Little League home run.
And then of course there was like no homers in the whole game. It's freezing. We're going to extras. I'm sitting there. I had to go to the bathroom because I'm like, you know what, this game's not gonna end. So I had to get up and run there. And I'm like, I remember I was telling my friend who was at the game too. He's like, you know what? I just have a feeling this is one of those games. There's not gonna be any homers. This could go for a while. The next inning, JT Realmuto steps up and hits a bomb.
Were you in the bathroom for that homer?
No, I made it back. I was close to the bathroom, so I went quick and got right back before the inning started. But yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about Kyle Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Now, Cubs fans,
in some big spots for someone who wasn't even up to start the year.
I don't know how I feel about most of our bullpen. So
yeah, it's shaky out there.
Up and down. It's a roller coaster.
It's kind of been like the last, I mean, pretty much every game we've lost recently, we've been right there. It's just we haven't been able to execute in the later innings, you know. We're right there. The game's for the taking, and we just haven't been able to capture it, which is kind of disappointing.
But that's it. Go ahead.
It was kind of a little bit of a positive game four against the Phillies. Well, we were down 7-0 and managed to, you know, make it close. So that's good for our offense, but 9 runs from our staff. I don't like that.
The offense is back, but we need to see. We just haven't seen the complete team come together yet. We're still winning games, but we haven't come together yet.
That's the other thing, that we've been in every game. Like, we haven't been in a game where we need to throw Caratini out there to pitch or anything. Like, we haven't had one of those yet.
Get Rizzo back out there.
Yeah.
But then, so we had the Reds game. That was this afternoon. That was a tough one to drop. Unfortunately, I was at work, wasn't able to watch that game, but both of y'all were, so – y'all want to give a little synopsis of the latest Cubs game?
Yeah, I mean, Schwarber home run.
I saw that.
Bomb.
KB two-run bomb, and then Rizzo followed us. We were up 4-0 by the time, you know, Hendricks. Because Hendricks had a really good first three and a half innings, and then right there in the middle, he kind of fell off the wagon. They ended up tying it.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's been his thing the last two starts. He started off really well and then hit a wall at some point.
Kind of concerning to see, but you know, we've talked about it all season. Kyle Hendricks, he's that guy that you still just know what he's going to give you. I mean, his like outings that we're saying, he kind of hits a wall. It's not like he like completely blew up, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but it's just like he hasn't like found this, like, besides that 81 pitch complete game shutout, he hasn't really been consistent for, you know, a significant stretch. But one thing that I actually wanted to bring up about this game, I wanted to actually ask you guys this. Does Kyle Schwarber, like, does he hit a home run that barely gets out? Like, have you guys ever seen Kyle Schwarber hit a home run that, like, is in the basket? I swear it never happens.
I think every single one he hits at least, like, 6 or 7 rows.
Actually, that one he hit today was disgusting.
Well, he'd had a ball this series that hit off the top of, like, the thing, but it wasn't a homer. That. So
he
like
missed a homer by like 3 inches.
So he missed it by like 3 inches. So, I mean, I guess that doesn't count. But it was close.
Yeah, he's been crushing the ball. Rizzo's been absolutely crushing the ball lately. He's been hitting some daddies.
He has.
He's been hitting like a golf swing, dude. He's been bombing them out in the bleachers in right field. That might be the spot to go right now because Cubs offense is hitting some homers. I think this is a good time to talk about the Cubs hot and cold in the last 2 weeks. A lot of good numbers here from the offense. Chris Bryant, someone we really needed to see, you know, kind of shut down the naysayers for been talking shit on him for some godforsaken reason because he was bad when he was injured. But he's had some monstrous numbers the last 14 days. 353, 4 homers, 8 RBI, 12 runs. He's slugging 647. That's awesome to see Chris Bryant be back, boys. I think we can declare KB's back.
Oh, he's back. And he has 12 runs scored, too. And yeah, his base running in the, I believe it was the Javi walk-off game, but the 3-2 win where he scored from second on a ground
ball. On a ground ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was it.
He is one of the most underrated base runners in the game. He runs like a deer. Sure. And I don't know, oh, man. It always sticks in my head. Game 7 of the World Series against the Indians where he was stealing second. He was able to score. You know what I'm talking about? When he's, yeah,
the Rizzo's.
Yes, goal. Yes. He scored on a single from first base. KB can move.
He's not – he'll never be a guy you say has elite speed, but I find it hard to find anyone that has, like, a lot of – he has better base running instincts than most of the guys in the majors. Yes,
he's very baseball savvy and definitely on the base paths.
For sure.
He knows what he's doing. So, good to see KB just in all aspects. Back. Alberto Mora Jr., someone that's making the hot list. I feel like every episode we have, he's hot or cold, but good to see him on the hot list. He now has as many homers as he did all last season, boys. He's had 3 homers in the last 14 days. Had that huge grand slam the other night. That was awesome to see. He was pumped up. He's in 324 last 2 weeks. So, Almora, center fielder, I love to see
him. I remember I was watching the game, and I forgot when it was, but it was like his first 21 games, he was hitting like 177. And then over the next 22, he was hitting like 370-something. So, like, that's when his average was like at like 270 or whatever. And they were talking about, like, considering the fact that how big of a hole he dug the first month of the year, like, he's hitting incredibly well. And just to be at 270 is pretty good.
Yeah, especially with the start he had. But I love Elmore, man. I love to see him play well.
Another diving catch out there today.
Yeah.
I've been a big Elmore guy always, dude. You got to play him. You got to play him every day.
Actually, ever.
True.
Yeah, I forgot. I forgot you met him.
The Kane County Cougars.
Jeez. How old was he? Is he like 20, 19? Yeah, he was a young kid. Like I remember he looked young in that picture.
2012, maybe that was.
Yeah, he was young.
He was the first Theo draft pick. Yeah. He was the first Theo draft pick. Yeah, yeah. He's a stud. He's a stud. So good to see him playing every day and playing well in center field. Javi Baez on the hot list. Probably shouldn't surprise anyone. Just Javi being Javi. 319, one home run. Got to talk about, you know, obviously the one swing walk off. That's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Just off the bench. He's like, I'm just.
Yeah, they were interviewing Bryant after, and he's like, you know, and I was saying in my head, don't swing. But it's Javi. You know he's going to swing at the first pitch. And of course, he just walks. Javi's always swinging.
Dude, and what's crazy is he's hitting, you know, above 300, and he is just a swinger. Absolutely. He's a free swinger. But, like, to ever think that he would be a 300 hitter, I don't think we would have ever thought that with the way, you know, his strikeout numbers. And his strikeout numbers still aren't that great. But when he puts the ball in play, it's good. Usually.
Yeah. Usually.
He's a beast.
And then
he's a beast. My MVP.
Yeah, and then we already talked about Rizzo.
Yeah.
We already talked about Rizzo.
Rizzo's just been crushing the ball lately. So the offense is there, guys, and we're in every game. The offense, like, even when we're down runs, the offense has been getting us back into games.
Yeah.
So, you know, starting pitching, the bullpen just ties it together. This is a very deadly team, in my opinion. But we need more pieces in the bullpen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Craig Kimbrel, anyone?
Still out there on his couch Craig somewhere.
Still, listen to this podcast. That's what he's doing. I'm
Craig Kimbrel? That'd be awesome if he was listening to our podcast.
Yeah.
I feel like I should be doing something important right now. But okay,
if he's out there, Craig Kimbrel, we'd love to have you on the podcast.
Come on, Kimbrel. Let's go, baby.
Right. No cold.
Yeah, we need some bullpen help. Yeah, time to move on to the coldest, I think. Daniel Descalso has some troubling numbers. He is 3 for his last 31. One of those hits happened to be a little home run.
Which, in all honesty, could have been caught. There were two fielders basically converging on it and could have caught it.
Yeah. That was a very ugly play.
Good for us.
And then Jason, actually, while we're talking about Descalso, I think that's probably a good time we should talk about our boy 3AM, Tommy La Stella. Yeah, he's been absolutely murking it for the Angels. I remember Herrera. You remember any of those stats?
Yeah, I got it right here. So in the American League rankings, slugging percentage, Tommy is 7th. He sits 1 behind Mike Trout, who's 6th. In OPS, La Stella is 8th, and Alex Bregman is 7th. And in home runs, La Stella is tied for 10th with 12, which is one more than Mike Trout.
Yeah, dude, he is the making the most out of his opportunity with the Angels. I had to go pick him up in fantasy. He's starting every day for me now.
How was that fantasy loss?
But, I mean, good for Tommy La Stella. Dude, I'm pissed. I can't beat you and DJ. It's so annoying. I don't know why. And your pitchers were just going off. I don't even want to talk about this. That was annoying. But Tommy La Stella, he's making the most out of his opportunity there with the Angels for sure. And I mean, I definitely am surprised by this, but I like Tommy La Stella. I mean, can come off the bench and be, you know, a 300 hitter. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that you give him routine at bats that he can have this type of season.
He's 3 a.m. He could wake up at 3 a.m. and get a hit. But that's what we knew.
That's all you need to know.
Honestly, the Cubs might have been holding him back. I still don't think he would have a spot.
That's what
an
I'm thinking.
Spot right now. So I think we're just
no. Back. Where would you put him?
Yeah, second. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, yeah. With Zobe gone right now, that's a little. I mean, we'll get into that later, but good for Tommy La Stella. Good to see him making the most of his opportunity. Kind of makes that Daniel Descalso, the acquisition and his recent play. It's kind of tough to, you know, be looking at Tommy La Stella in the shadows. I like picture like the Cubs are like looking out, like, you know, that meme where it's Squidward looking out the window at Patrick and SpongeBob having fun. Yeah. That's us looking at Tommy La Stella killing it in Los Angeles right now. That's great. And then Jason Hayward, he had a really good start to the season, but he's been cold lately, boys. He's only hitting 130 over his last 14 days.
I was going to look up what his last homer was.
But you got to play J.A., but.
No idea.
Yeah, it's been a minute for Hayward.
He did start off.
He's been making some nice catches, though. He's been making some nice catches out and right, as always.
I mean, yeah. Gold Glove defense is what we bought him for. I mean, probably overpaid for Gold Glove defense. So that's you know, what was expected out of him, so. I mean, any good hitting you can give us is probably, you know, kind of just gravy to that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we didn't sign – like, look at our team. We didn't sign Jason Hayward to go be our best hitter. Like, yeah. We signed Jason Hayward to go make diving plays in right field and gun people out, be our best defender. And he's going to do that night in. So, just like you said, Ryan, kind of anything he chips in offensively is almost a bonus.
Yeah.
But it just makes the contract seem a little bit better when Jason Hayward's actually hitting good.
I got one more –
that contract
one more
is still
to, thing to add to the cold. We should just throw the bullpen there, I guess, recently.
Yeah.
Well,
the whole bullpen is a group.
The Cubs are tied for third in blown saves in the majors.
Yeah, I saw that today on Twitter. That's bad. They're 9 out of 20.
Nine blown
20, right?
saves, so they'd be 11 of.
Yeah, 20, nine blown saves out of 20 opportunities.
But, only Oakland and the Nationals have more, and they both have 10. So, and we know Washington.
They're both not doing well.
They're both struggling.
Yeah, the Nats are 19-31, and the A's are. I mean, they're 25-25, but still, you don't want your bullpen involved in like groups like that. So, definitely, the bullpen belongs on the coldest. And as we've kind of said throughout this episode, we've been right there in every game. It's just the bullpen just needs to execute, and they're not doing that right now. They're just not good enough. Yeah. They're not good enough.
The best, only two blown saves. The best team. At least with closers, the Twins and White Sox.
No, mighty Twins.
Oh, Blake Parker,
Cub, just
shut
killing
down.
It.
Let's just start call. Let's start calling him Blake Mariano Parker.
Blake Rivera.
Blake
Parker, man.
Dude, I actually looked this up the other day. I was looking at Mariano Rivera because I wanted to know when his rookie year was. Dude, he's like 50 years old.
Yeah,
right
he
now.
Was.
I'm like, damn, I forgot he played that.
I was saying he came up in '94. 94 is his rookie year.
Before
like
we were born.
I was like 93. Yeah, it was early.
And we got to grow up with Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer of all time. Honestly, I'm kind of happy about that. I was actually watching some Mariano Rivera highlights earlier today, and that cutter is just unbelievable. That's probably the best pitch in Major League history, Mariano Rivera's cutter.
Dude, he just broke so many bats. Lefties just could not hit him.
Besides Carlos Marmol's slider in 2008. that's my favorite pitch ever.
Dude, no one in Wrigley would know. Even Carlos Marmol had no idea where that slider was going. He was just chucking that baby as hard as he could.
08, man. 08, when Marmol made the All-Star team, that slider was deadly. It was the most deadly pitch in the majors. And then
the Cubs' last chance before they just fucking went down.
Yeah.
Will, do you have any idea where Carlos Marmol is today?
No.
Any idea? I mean, if anyone would
He is not around anymore. I mean, he's not on the playing field.
No, I'm not talking MLB. I was just wondering if you knew he was playing some like Mexican
probably
jumping
not.
League thing together, just those
but,
random leagues. Those random leagues that are just in Mexico where you're like, isn't that dude like 55
yeah,
years old? You're like,
league,
yeah, but he's still playing.
Yeah, there's some random guys. But it says he's a former player, so I mean he's retired.
Yeah, he probably hung it up. I could definitely see that.
Oh, wait. How about this? Okay. Wait, give me a second to validate this, but I think I found out what he's doing.
Hold on, really quick. Speaking of Carlos, Zambrano was supposed to pitch for the Chicago Dogs last week, which would have been awesome.
Did he not?
No, he got rained out. He got rained out.
I heard he's a reliever.
Wait, no, I saw he pitched. No, he came. Yeah, no, he came out of the bullpen. I know he pitched at least one game.
He was supposed to start.
Yeah.
It was that last Friday.
I know he got five batters in his first. I think he had five batters in his first appearance. I know he got all five of them out. Dude, we're going to Chicago Dogs game. I have to go to Chicago Dogs game.
Dude, I know a couple people work in there, so
awesome.
Really? Dude, that's a cool place. It's a cool little stadium. Like the parking. Dude, it's in Rosemont, so it's not like terribly far. The parking lot is literally right behind right field. Like it's like a parking garage, so like your cars can't get hit. But it's like right next to the stadium, so it's not like a bitch to like, you know, you can get in and out in like 2 minutes. Like it's super nice stadium too. Like I'm definitely gonna go to at least two or three games. I mean the tickets are like a nickel.
Yeah, speaking of that, I saw King County.
That's a move.
And as I was walking the stadium, it was the first inning and I got a foul ball over the roof. Sick.
Oh, let's go!
Like, wait a minute, like
over the roof, like you were walking in.
We were walking in, and I saw something fall off the roof. I'm like, walk over, you know, pick it up. What the hell? Got a foul ball before I even walked in. I was handing my ticket to the guy, and I got a foul ball on my hand. He's like, nice.
Damn, foul ball before you.
And there, it was a day game on a Tuesday. It was the day after the Arrieta game.
How empty was that mug?
So about the first five innings, they had a bunch of school kids there, and then they all left. It was like a field trip, I guess. And it was kind of rainy, too. The weather was kind of bad, but it was fun. I always enjoy going to King County, watching those dudes. Watched a couple okay Diamondback prospects.
Absolutely. Did you guys realize Zambrano's only 37 years old?
No way.
He really could make a comeback.
He's not. He's no what? Way.
He's only 37.
I didn't realize that.
No way.
Yeah, 37-year-old.
Damn. Jeez. So what? He retired at like 32.
Something like that. Yeah, he was probably because he was not
interesting. I mean, he didn't have to play anymore.
I heard he's going to DH money. With the Dogs too a little bit.
Let's go! I forgot how good he could rake. Oh, he was the ultimate raker. He was the ultimate pitcher that rakes. For real. For real. He was dope. I remember hitting with him in video games. Even
all right, wait. Can I throw it back to the Carlos Marmol thing?
That's here.
All right. So, according to Wikipedia, Carlos Marmol owns Recta 49, a successful restaurant / car wash in the Dominican Republic. restaurant
car wash? Have you ever heard of that? Carlos Marmol is probably with his family. He's like, all right, hold up. Hear me out. I have this $1 billion idea. You can wash your car, and while your car is being washed, you can go inside.
It says it's successful, but that's Wikipedia.
It's also Wikipedia, but that's really what he's doing post baseball. Is he decided to open up a restaurant car wash?
What better way to retire?
Not even in the States. No. Not even in the States. Like, you think he's making how successful can that car wash restaurant be in the Dominican Republic?
Booming industry.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure people are itching to get their cars washed with all their cash in the Dominican Republic. That's a terrible idea. Maybe in America. Maybe like New York City.
Maybe it's even a better idea in the Dominican Republic, though. Who knows? It's successful.
Maybe restaurant car washes are normal in the Dominican Republic.
I'm not sure what they serve.
Maybe we're just ripping on their culture.
Do more research before trusting Wikipedia.
They serve soap. They serve soap.
That's so bad. They serve Tide Pods.
Jeez. All right, we're getting off track.
All right, we're way off track.
We are. No, we were kind of on track. We were getting a little bit mind. Ian Happ was up next, so we're a little bit on track.
Hitting 234.
Yeah, classic Ian Happ.
Six homers, 50 strikeouts.
How many ABs?
58. 28 walks. Nice.
So, yeah, pretty much a third of his at-bats, and he's only played in 45 games. So he's striking out at least once a game and like a third of his at-bats. And his strikeout-to-walk ratio is not great.
I wouldn't say we got to call him.
I really don't know.
I don't want to see it, honestly. I
don't know.
There's no more. There's nothing for him to do up here.
Dude, Mark Sagunas is living the life, dude. He's just hanging
he's
with the boys
the game every day.
Out.
He gets a pinch hit appearance like every four games.
That's true. That is true.
Dude, Sagunas literally just warms up with the guys. Like,
I love when he comes in though. I'm a big Sagunas guy.
I mean, yeah, why not? I mean, like, if Hap's struggling, yeah, right. there's no need
he's
to
not
call
gonna
him
get
up,
out of
like...
it by filling his Zagunas role of playing every four games for one at bat.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to have Ian Happ up, you're not going to have him up to ride the pine. This just makes no sense. So, I mean, at least we're seeing Elmore kill it out there. Elmore's, I mean, without a doubt, a better fielder. And Elmore's hitting the ball. No need at all to be calling up Ian Happ. He's got to figure out his swing here. It's obviously too early to call him a bust.
Way too early.
Him a bust. But he's got to be careful how he goes about the rest of the
game. I know.
You're moving around
to
kill you.
I'm good. I had to unplug my phone from
charging. I really told you this. Chill. but Ian Happ, this is a big this is going to be a big year for him. If he obviously didn't want to get sent down to the minors. He had that talk with Joe Maddon before the season started. And I don't know. If he stays there for a whole year, that's going to be – it's going to be hard on him, no doubt about it.
I don't know where to go with him. I'm hoping I can go to Iowa this year, go to Des Moines and check him out at some point, though.
Yeah, you should. Yell some confidence. Yell some good things at him. Maybe people are, like, heckling him out there. You just got to
get
his confidence.
I'll give him some positive
reinforcement. Start yelling good things at him.
You're good, man.
Ian, you're good. You're good.
Oh, shit.
K's on three pitches. He stares you down.
Hit the ball.
That's classic. All right, so there's our classic Ian Happ update, and now it's time, I think, for the classic Brandon Morrow being – It's just, I think this, we should just have this be a segment just called Brandon Morrow being Brandon Morrow.
False Brandon
Morrow. We forgot what number he was. We all forgot what number Brandon Morrow was because he hasn't pitched.
What I said, 15. I said he was number 40.
15. I guess 32.
You said 40, and then I think Will said 20. Yeah, Will said 32. You guessed 40, Herrera. He's number 15.
It's been too long.
Been that long. Hey, but at least he threw off flat ground for the first time, what, like 3 days ago? Since spring?
Congratulations.
Threw off flat.
Yeah, I saw he got like some cortisone shot or something along those lines. I don't know really how that's going to affect his timeline. I know there probably is no timeline. But are we going to see him this year? But
yeah, I mean he was pretty good last year when he
was
actually
there, yeah.
No, he was good. Yeah, he
really got out of the bullpen.
But you know, he's we'll a splash. But he's the type of guy that would get, you know, Jabba Chamberlain. Remember when he got hurt playing with his kids on the trampoline?
It's not even Thursday. Why are you throwing it back that far?
Jabba Chamberlain. Dude.
Damn. Yeah. Well, I just remember he got hurt playing with his kid on the trampoline. Will, who was it that tore ACL playing with their dog?
Derek Holland.
Yeah, he tore that's a brand new one.
Do you guys
right
actually
there.
Think what these, like, what they say happened really really didn't happen? Like, I
mean,
kind of find it hard to believe that something.
What's.
Happened. Did you hear about the Cespedes one?
What was that?
I saw Cespedes, like, stepped in a hole or something.
On his farm or something. It wasn't
I forget
on his
the story.
Farmer's ranch.
Yeah,
something ranch.
On his farm, and he, like, rolled. Yeah, he like rolled both his ankles. Will, you want to
look
this
look
up real
up.
Quick while we're
here? Remember when Carlos Boozer missed the first month of 2010-2011 season because he tripped over a gym bag in the dark?
Yes. I mean.
Yeah. I remember D. Rose cut his hand peeling an apple, too. I remember that one.
I think a lot of these stories are far-fetched, if we're going to be honest.
I mean, they're embarrassing, though. Why would you make that up?
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking. Like, why would you put that out there if it's not true? I mean, also, it could be, like, way worse. But, like, you could easily, like. Portray
Here's
that in
theory.
A better
Here's my
way.
Theory. It's just that because these, like, all athletes have in their contract, like, things they're not supposed to do. Like, basketball players aren't supposed to be playing, like, pickup games, like, in season, stuff like that. So I feel like these guys are doing something they're not supposed to be doing and then just like, hiding, telling their teams that they did this other thing that wouldn't, like, ruin or wouldn't be against their contract. That's my theory.
They're just all coming together. All right, boys, what happened here today did not happen here today.
We're going to say I
just
No one saw this.
I threw out my back pulling my pants up, okay? This is the story.
My favorite sneezing. My favorite sneezing.
I know what you're going to say.
You.
Neil Ramirez. Neil Ramirez was sneezing, and he was like somehow went on the DL from sneezing.
Will, I think we said that a million times here in high school.
Oh, man. It's right ankle. He hurt his multiple fractures in his right ankle after a bad fall at his ranch in Florida.
Yeah.
And he was already on the DL.
Dudes are headed.
IO.
Yeah. So I forgot it's not the DL anymore. I don't know why it's not, but interesting. Yeah. I don't know. Some weird injuries happen in the sport of baseball for sure. Baseball in particular.
Some weird stuff.
Some guys have some weird stuff goes on. Speaking of weird stuff, Herrera, I'll let you take this next segment. Big Will, we kind of got a surprise. Got a surprise. Yeah, I think this time this is a good transition into some weird shit.
It's
going
been
on
a while. We haven't talked about this. What came out the day after Addison Russell got brought up? Kind of.
Oh, we haven't even talked about that.
I think so.
Off that, but we'll get there. But
we'll get there.
The Cubs fan that got banned for holding the okay the. The finger
circle game
versus with the other three fingers up, you know, the circle game thing. It's hilarious to me because I actually know who that is, and I've known him.
What?
I'm 22 years old. I've known him since I was, I've known him for over half my life. I played baseball with him. I won't say his name, and I won't say where he's from. That, but I've known him for a good 12 years now. And if he is a racist or a white supremacist, that is a lot of news to me because I've known him pretty well for a good decade now. And I think I went
dude,
home.
Dude, when you told me that, I lost it.
This last weekend, I went home and I was at a bar and I saw him and I talked to him about it and I confirmed it. I confirmed that it was him and he's telling me all this stuff about what's happening. I'm like, man, we should get him on the podcast. So if you're listening out there, keep listening because we might end up getting him on the podcast.
That would be awesome.
Tell his side of the story.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so fucking worlds colliding right there. He was all
over
the place.
It's so funny because I don't know how. I guess they found him. I think they found him through StubHub, is what he said. Like, because you can, like, I couldn't even tell from the video that it was him until like some of like our mutual friends told me. And then I guess I was talking to him. He said they found him like through StubHub. They like found out what seat he was on and stuff like that. And they looked through his like social media and found like white supremacist stuff or something that confirmed that he was a racist or whatever. And I'm like, if you look at his Facebook profile picture, like one of his best friends is black. He's in like four or five of his Facebook profile pictures. And that's not – I'm not saying that the whole, oh, I have a black friend, so I can't be racist. It's just like I know this guy. He's not a racist. And
what was his, like, before, like, just like a quick thing, like, was he, like – is he, like, upset about it? Like,
pissed.
Is he pissed or, like –
He's talking about, like, getting a lawyer and seeing what he can do about it. Because, like, I mean, I guess people, like, random people have been finding him and sending him, like, threats and shit.
What?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. And I'm like, that's unreal. Because, no, it's
that's
very
a little
far. Especially considering the fact, I guess if you don't know him and you the Cubs paint this picture of him, then that's a different thing. But, like, considering the fact that I know who he is and I've talked to him about it, it just kind of blows my mind. I feel like, I'm not going to say the Cubs didn't do the right thing just because, I guess, with all the backlash that was coming at him, like, that was, like, the best PR move probably just to, you know what, fuck it, just ban him. But I don't think they did their due diligence because I guess they reached out to him, like they called him a couple of times, didn't get an answer, so then they just sent him the email saying he was banned. But I don't think they completely did their due diligence on the whole process of that.
Yeah. Dude, that whole situation is a story of its own. Oh my god. Yeah, wow. Hope maybe one day we'll be hearing his side of the story here on the podcast. But yeah, wow, that was a situation and a half right there. I don't even know. I think that's like I really like. If you're holding up that sign for white power, you suck. Like, come on, that game was great.
Dude, I've been playing that since elementary school. Like,
literally, since like fourth grade.
Now when people do it, so it's like Schwarber did it a few days ago. I'm pretty sure that I'm doing it.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Every NBA
triple.
Player. That's ever made a three-pointer does it. Like, are they going to get banned too? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. They're going a little far with that. But, yeah, as you said, though, Ryan, I think it was like you said, the backlash. Like, they had to respond in the best way to make them as an organization look good, and that probably was, like, the smartest decision in the time because there was a lot of people, like, wondering what was going on. Well, but, I mean – They should definitely like there should it shouldn't be like a split second decision like he's gone for life. Like they definitely should like if I hope he does take it to court because like that's how it should go about. Like it shouldn't be just decided right then he's never allowed at Wrigley. Like everyone should have their story to tell. And
it's like
I don't think he's gotten that.
When I try to think about it from the Cubs perspective too, it's like there was a whole like a lot of people that were actually offended by this because with the whole it becoming a white supremacist. I didn't know it was a white supremacist sign until this happened. But like there's a lot of people that were actually getting like offended by it, and like that's fine. Like you get offended by it, like that's your like thoughts on it. And I guess from the Cubs thinking it was either we can alienate this whole group of people by doing nothing, or just alienate this one person by banning him for good. And I guess that was just – I guess if I was the Cubs, that was
it's my a tough situation. Process. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. But yeah, hell of an interesting situation there. Maybe we'll be talking about in a later episode. Another kind of interesting situation going on right now is with Ben Zobrist and his divorce situation. I don't even want to talk details about that, but just more so talking that Zobrist has been, gone for an extended period of time, and we're just not really sure when he's going to be
let him have
back.
His privacy on it, but yeah, just say to say that he's been out, we don't know when he's coming back. But
yeah, I think Joe Madden
Russell's kind of been filling in.
Joe Madden said the other day he hasn't talked to him in, like, days, so he has no idea what's going on.
He's about as big a question mark as Brandon Morrow is right now. So it's kind of something where time will tell. And, yeah, I think that's a good transition into Addison Russell as well, who has not been playing oh so hot since returning to
the
Cubs.
And he wasn't killing it in Iowa either. So it's not like we, like, expected it. He just kind of came up because we needed another person to come up. But
that's what I'm saying. With the situation that was going on, and he was probably the guy
when
that
he
should call
he started
up, but
the game I went to him. The reaction was his first time up, he got some boos, and it wasn't like cheering or anything like that, really.
Yeah, I think
not. And then after that, it was kind of just like nothing.
I think it's just
up,
indifferent.
So,
like, no one's cheering for him, but it's just like no one's.
Yeah.
No one knows what to do.
He got hit. He got a pretty clutch hit the other day, and like my roommate started like cheering. And I like just sat there silently. I'm like, I don't know how to like cheer for that.
Yeah, like I'm glad the Cubs are doing good.
That's about it.
I think neutral is a pretty good stance for Addison Russell right now, because I do like, obviously, big time fuck up. You can't be doing that. Like, you can't be doing that shit. But like, for people to like, I've seen a lot on Twitter where it's like, "Fuck you, Addison Russell, you piece of shit." I'm like, dude, chill out. Like, he's on the Cubs roster. Like, don't dog him for what he did in the past. Like, you don't have to like Addison Russell, but to like demand his release now, it's like, who the fuck are you? Like,
no, and then I
you don't know anything about
the
situation.
For them is even to release him. We talked about it earlier when we said to just have him around and help him is probably better than just releasing him.
Yeah, I was listening to another pod a couple weeks ago, or like a week or two ago, probably like a week ago, and they were talking about how like now that Russell's up and like the Cubs, like Theo did his whole thing, like the PR stuff, like taking all the backlash and whatnot, trying to get him like to start the recovery, like the rehab process and whatnot, and that now that that's all going and like the people are starting to move on, like now would be the actually good time to like to move him, which I agree with. Like, you know, it was nice that Theo like wanted to like be at the front of this and get that whole process started and try to be part of the solution, and then now that if they were to give him to another team, that team wouldn't get the backlash that the Cubs did. So I think that was right. Like, that now is the time to move Addison regardless of if he was doing well.
I don't know if anyone would want
maybe wait till Zobrist is back.
Yeah, he hasn't played that many games, so obviously he's got to kind of get in the swing of things. He's I just don't really know what to expect from Addison Russell anymore.
I have no idea what to expect.
I mean,
he's not,
because he doesn't have like great hitting stats in his career. Like, he's been showing like he hasn't even been great defensively, and that was his strength always.
It's not 16 anymore, boys.
So, yeah, Addison, yeah, it sucks. He had 100 RBIs. That's crazy to think. But, yeah, definitely something to keep an eye on, Addison Russell, especially if Ben Zobrist is going to be gone for an extended period of time. That's, I think, all we got for the Cubbies news as we're going to move into some MLB stuff around the league. Talk about the rest of Major League Baseball. We'll start off with something that we love to talk about, which is the St. Louis Cardinals.
Fourth place in the NL Central right now.
Huge.
Yeah. Game over 500. Nice to see us. Obviously, we had that sweep. That was damn near 3 weeks ago now, but always good to see. But yeah, the Cardinals are 3-7 in the last 10 games, trending the wrong way. They're 10-14 on the road, so they're struggling to pick up wins on the road. So they've been one of the they've been the cold team in the NL Central. The Pirates are, they're hanging around. Interesting to see. But it's looking like this is going to be a neck-and-neck race with the Cubs.
Look at this. Everyone in the Central's last 10 games, Cubs are 4-6, Brewers, Pirates, and Reds all 5-5, Cardinals 3-7. There's really no, like, give and take right there. Everyone is right there. I don't know.
Right in the mix, yeah. So, the division's going to be tough all season long. Like, love to see the Cardinals, you know, falling behind right now. Don't want to be thinking about them later on in the season, especially, you know, when we're back in school, Ryan, in September. You don't want to be hearing all that shit. So hopefully they keep struggling. Going around the rest of the league, talk about some of the hotter teams in the league. How about the Dodgers lately, boys? They've been killing it. They're 7-3 in the last 10 games.
The Dodgers are, and their pitching staff has been unbelievable. Bellinger, obviously, we'll get to.
They're a very deep team. And then they don't have weaknesses. Like they have good staff. They obviously have good late inning bullpen guys. Except for one randomly, who hit? Was it Almora? That was Almora.
And Jansen hasn't been quite as good this year.
No.
Yeah, I remember Almora took Jansen deep. But yeah, Dodgers 32-18. They are the best team in the National League right now. And then another some teams that are killing it in the American League. The New York Yankees, they're 9-1 in their last 10 games, and they're just getting healthy. So that's something to keep an eye on always. Once the Yankees are going to be a lethal team.
Yeah.
I mean, they already are.
They're 32-17, and they've Stan's really been out all year. I mean,
jeez. I was having a joint with my friend earlier. Gleyber Torres, we see it right here, 8 home runs versus the Orioles. But are we, like – looking back on that trade, him for Aroldis Chapman, whatever it was, what do you think was the getting that had World Series champion?
We won the World Series.
Not you can't having Gleyber Torres like killing it now, like for last.
You take the World Series.
That's why we had to get World Series.
That's why I would still make that trade 100 times.
Yeah.
Out of 100,
no doubt. Yes, that's kind of. Maybe a move we kind of need to potentially do for our bullpen this season as well, guys. I mean, 2016, it was obvious we didn't have a late inning bullpen arm. Yeah, maybe we did overpay, but sometimes you need to overpay to win. You know, that's kind of.
I don't know if we have a Gleyber Torres, though. He give up?
Obviously not. Obviously not. I mean, I'm not saying give up a top prospect, but we're not going to get in the Aroldis Chapman like arm once again. But we do need help. You know, so that's kind of what I was getting to. But yeah, that Gleyber Torres trade definitely interesting. Eloy is always going to be an interesting one, of course. But Gleyber Torres, man, 8 home to 7 versus Orioles. Like, what are the Orioles thinking, dude? These dudes are literally hitting batting.
I mean, the Orioles are so bad, though. You know what their run differential is right
now? Dude,
they're
15-35.
-108.
What is it?
Oh my god.
-108.
No.
I'm pretty sure.
Damn, dude, they're 6-19 at home. They're 6-19.
Are they the worst game in the majors? Do they have the worst record in the majors right now? Yeah, looks like it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're worse. They're worse than the Marlins.
So hard to do.
They're worse than the Marlins.
Oh.
A winning percentage of 300.
What? You said they're -108.
-108.
I'm pretty sure at this point, when, like the Cubs in 2016, the Cubs were plus like 1-something at this point. So you're basically saying the Orioles are the complete opposite this year of the Cubs were in 2016.
Right,
dude. Do you remember when the Cubs started 25-6 that year?
Imagine if they didn't slump going into the All Star.
Yeah,
they still ended up with 106 wins. They could have made a run of the record.
Dude, that was a fun team to watch. Absolutely. So I mean, kind of getting off track a little bit. We always seem to. That's the way she goes. But we talk about Gleyber Torres just being hot against the Orioles in general. Going around Major League, talk about who's hot and who's cold. Got to start off with Cody Bellinger, of course. He's still absolutely killing it for the Dodgers. I mean, not hitting 400, but 394, damn near. I mean, no one else in the MLB is hitting above 344. That's crazy to me. He's 50 points above the next person. And then that WPA as well is nuts, 3.04, which is almost one full win higher than the next best.
Yeah, I was going to look up who is the next best, but I think it's
– That's a good, that's a good thing. Ryan, what were you going to say?
I mean, do you think he can keep it up? I mean, it's been 2 months, and he's been at that 400 level, but that just seems so hard to keep going over the next 4 months.
If he's hitting, like, 380 at the All-Star break, I will be freaking out. Like – if that's crazy. 394, I mean, we're not like we're 50 yeah. plus games into a season, you know? Like, so that's crazy that he's still
his WPA has actually gone down a little bit since that. So he's actually a little below three right now. Next best is another guy on this hot list, and he's actually the next guy, Josh Bell.
Oh, why do we not usually have
should have known that because I have it there, but
yeah, that's rough. Yeah. That's rough. But Josh Bell, dude, he's been murking balls in the Allegheny. He is fun to watch. He's killing it. Second in WPA. He's hitting 340, 16 homers, 47 yeah. RPIs. I'm all aboard the Josh Bell.
I remember back when
Bell,
like, he first came up with the Pirates. Team. It was against the Cubs, and I think one of his first games up, he hit a grand slam in at PNC against the Cubs. And I remember, like, this guy's got talent. They were all talking him up. Like, he's finally starting to play to it this year. He's got big-time power.
Yeah, he's got power. We were talking about him kind of coming into the season, Will, because we were trying to figure out who we're going to play our show team with. Well, yeah, they got Josh Bell. Like, they got some pieces. And the Pirates, they've been performing really well, fairly well for them. I mean, they're hanging around, so good to see it. They're
good
in
to see
place
it.
Right now. I mean,
yeah, they're ahead of the
Pirates
Cardinals.
Fan, if you're a Pirates fan. True. So, yeah, Josh Bell definitely besides Cody Bellinger, probably the hottest hitter in baseball, arguably. Moving on to another hot hitter, Jorge Polanco, dude. I miss the hip-hip Jorge, the Posada, the Posadas. He was a goat. But Jorge Polanco, man, just the Minnesota Twins in general, they're just blowing my mind right now. I don't know what to even say about that.
I think they're taking advantage of a bad division, but at the same time, they're just being really good. I mean,
they're the best team in baseball. Who would have thought that?
I wouldn't have, but I mean, the Indians basically didn't do anything all offseason, so.
That's true, and then it's just the White Sox who
Polanco
are, you know,
killing.
They're just average. And the,
jeez, even Mitch Garver, catcher Mitch Garver, is hitting 329.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to see how far the Indians have fallen since they were up 3-1
right?
in the World Series.
Dude. They have just missed some – not just that series alone. They've just missed some major opportunities, dude. They've just missed – I really think they missed their period.
Yeah. They had their chance.
They had their chance to come up clutch, and they did. Yeah, they did. They did. Can't be blowing 3-1 series leads, man.
And I guess we still got one more hot guy before we transition, but –
Yeah, you can talk about – you can talk about
it. I'm going to Hyunjin Ryu, who's killing it for the Dodgers right now. With the best ERA in baseball in three straight starts without allowing a run. Over 24 innings, too. He went 7 innings one game, 8 innings one game, and then a complete game one game. So he's killing it. And the Dodgers are scary. Especially if Walker Buehler finds it. Maeda has been great the last couple starts. So Kershaw's not even, like, the top guy you're talking about anymore.
Yeah, right? They have pieces around him, so –
I feel like we always like we have to talk about Christian Yelich, just considering he's the best player in the center in the division. I mean, he's fifth in the majors, fifth in runs. Let's see, I'm on ESPN right now.
Hey, Josh Bell's coming for him though in the central. I mean,
he leads the majors in home runs. He is fifth in RBI. He's his on base percentage. He's third in on base percentage, second in slugging, second OPS, like third or fourth in WAR. Like he's still.
And he also chugged the hell out of
the
beer.
He showed up Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers looked like a chump last night,
right.
Dude. Bakhtiari just hammering him down.
Full, though. Come on.
But
Bakhtiari's just a killer.
Yelich doesn't even look like he's old enough
to
drink.
Dude, Bakhtiari's the man.
Yelich looks like he's like 19 years old. Shouldn't even be drinking beer.
Dude, he does look like a little kid. He does look like a little kid. He's got a baby face. Yeah. That was funny, but I'm all for just let's see how many beers.
I think that's hilarious. All the like Wisconsin athletes just go to the Bucks games and just chug beers in the timeouts
and just get hammered.
Even when the Brewers probably have a game.
What would that be though? Yeah, that's dope. I mean, yeah, screw it. I mean, you're living the life. I'd be doing the same thing. Hell, I'd be doing what Drake's doing in Toronto. I'd be on the damn court. Bro, I'd just be like, I'm out here with the squad.
When the Bulls finally. You know, start doing this. Start doing what the Bucks are doing. That's gonna be Chance. Chance will be there on the court going crazy.
That's true.
That's what
when
the city needs.
Getting
what the city
overall
needs.
Picks. Yeah.
No.
All right.
Dude, Jesus Christ, right. Breaking my back.
Right. That's a story for a different podcast. I don't want to talk about it right now.
We need like three different podcasts.
All right, should we go to the cold guys?
Let's do cold.
All right, well, we just talked about how bad the Indians are doing, but Jose Ramirez, ouch.
Gross.
He's not an all-star this year for sure.
Below the Mendoza line, 198 batting.
198, negative WPA.
Dude, that WPA is
negative 0.72.
Yeah, that's tough.
Not as bad as another guy on this list. Oof. Will Myers, dude. That WPA is trash. Will, do you know who has the worst WPA?
I will check for you right now.
I'm going to talk about Will Myers. Yeah. Check what I'm talking about, Myers. And then Myers is struggling. He's got the worst strikeout percentage in the MLB, 37.2%. Hitting .230. He has not been very good for the Padres. But Joey Votto, man. Joey Votto is starting to really concern me. If any listeners out there saw that Twitter video of him losing his marbles. Like, it's the funniest. I don't know what he was doing. Like, he literally looked like a 12-year-old up at bat. He, like, choked up, like, 8 inches. Like, the bat's way too big for him. And then gave, like, the ugliest swing. Like, for a guy like Joey Votto with all the talent he has, I was like, what is going on there? We should have
known he was, like, going downhill as soon as he hit a pop-up to first base.
Dude, right? He probably lost it. He's probably like, what the fuck did I just do? I've done it, like, 13 times my whole life.
WPA. It's the next Cub. The worst WPA in the league right now. Starlin Castro.
Actually knew that. So I actually did know that, actually.
Second what is he? What is negative 1.47.
Holy shit.
Oh, man.
Jackie Bradley Jr., not good either. He's up there. Nick Ahmed of the Diamondbacks. Not so great guys up there.
I know Jackie Bradley's been hurting for the White Sox.
I think it's kind of crazy that Joey Votto is negative in WPA right now because he's usually pretty good.
Some big names in the division even. Yeah. Well, Puig's in negative. Molina negative. Jesse Winker is negative. A lot of central guys out here, honestly. Arcia.
Dude, it's kind of crazy for me to see that Joey Votto slugging .333. Slugging percentage
is bad.
What the hell is that?
He's not getting on base that often.
That's really bad.
.208 batting average, .318 on base percentage. No,
those are not Joey Votto numbers.
Slugging .333.
333, that's nothing. That's literally like you're hitting singles.
Terrorizing for over a decade now. That you love to see it.
Yeah, you do, except for that the Reds are still beating us.
I saw actually this poll on Twitter the other day. It was like, who's the biggest Cub player of all time? It was Carlos Lee, Albert Pujols, Randall Grichuk, and Joey Votto.
I see.
Dude, you can't say Albert Pujols.
I'll give
fucking Grichuk.
Let's measure it by like percentage of how good the guy actually is.
Oh, yeah.
Then it's definitely Randall Grichuk.
You want to do that? You can talk about Daniel Murphy. You want to go like just base?
He's a Cub playoff killer. True. He's a one series killer.
He killed us when it mattered.
For some reason, I can't get the ugly Daniel Murphy swing against Josh Hader out of my head.
Oh,
no, what I'm talking about.
He's like acting like he's stabbing at something. It's bad.
It literally looks like from Benchwarmers. Yeah, it's like, all right, someone has a sword.
It's the guy that eats sunblock and is afraid of the sun. It's him.
Howie Murphy.
All right, Murphy. Someone get a sword. Howie Murphy, dude. That was ugly. Yeah, that's interesting. That's Joey Votto, man. He's got to get it together. Some of these guys got to get it together. These are some big names. Jose Ramirez, Joey Votto, Will Myers. Starlin Castro.
I mean, he's just got to still be in depression from getting traded from the Cubs and then the Yankees to the Marlins. Like, come on. That's the worst. And then the Cubs win the World Series. We should give him a ring.
They could have been easy for him. Thanks, Starlin.
Imagine being Starlin. Go through all those years of just terrible teams.
Right.
Right when they're about to win, we trade him. Like, I would feel so bad.
He literally was the start of the rebuild. And then didn't get to see what the rebuild did. He actually is the definition of the
that's
Patrick
true.
And SpongeBob meme. That's Starlin Castro for sure. Yeah, so that's tough for him. Tough to see that he's probably is the coldest guy in the MLB. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap up the hot and cold list. Now we're gonna do a little preview of the upcoming Cubs games. Will, you want to go through this preview a little bit? You're probably the one that wrote this.
We got two more against the Reds this weekend. Hopefully, we don't lose another series to them. Darvish, though, you gotta hold your breath on that one tomorrow versus Tyler or
Yeah, yeah. Tommy, big one in
Tommy. Yeah. Tyler Chatwood, you know, maybe he'll come in. and then Sunday we got the getaway day with Quintana. Finally, not Sunday night baseball for the Cubs for the first time in a month.
Dude, right? I can't listen to Jessica fucking Mendoza anymore. I'm like, go get A-Rod a coffee.
A-Rod
right?
pisses me off, honestly. Yeah, A-Rod does piss you me off, really? A fair amount. But
I just can't listen. I don't listen to them because I don't like. I just can't listen to anyone besides. Seriously. Like, go get A-Rod a hot dog.
It bums me out.
Dude, JD had JD's funny. I love JD. The other day. I don't know what he was saying.
Who did you guys JD like better as a commentator, though? JD or Bob Brenly back in the day?
I loved Bob Brenly, but I think JD's a little funnier.
I love Bob Brenly, but I think JD's funnier. Yeah, definitely. I think JD's wittier. Brenly was very baseball savvy. I mean, I World Series both, winning I
mean,
manager.
I mean, yeah, Len and Bob Brenly were a very good duo, though.
Yeah.
The Cubs have just had great broadcasters for so long. Len Casper's awesome. The man. Len Casper's the man. He does it such a good job. All right. I'm pretty sure I have Len Casper's autograph somewhere.
All right. So after the Reds, we and being me and the Cubs head to Houston. So I'll be in Houston for the Cubs and Astros, which will be awesome. Game one, I'll be like third deck behind home plate ish, but that's Memorial Day, so the tickets were expensive. We get the Cole versus Cole matchup: Cole Hamels and Garrett Cole.
Oh my god! Never forget Garrett Cole, 2015. Took him down.
True. That is true. But he's all of a sudden really good again with the Astros. So there's
fair enough.
Then we got Lester and Corbin Martin, game two. I'll be first row of the Crawford boxes for game two.
Are you going to be there the whole series?
Out in left field, yes. I'll be there for the whole series.
Awesome.
So left field, Crawford boxes. I had to make a trip there.
TFTI.
And then game three is Hendricks and Wade Miley. I'll be, I don't know, somewhere closer to home, but okay. Anyways, so Kyle Hendricks, hopefully you can finish off the series strong. And then we go to we get the day off on Thursday before going to next St. week. Louis. Finish off against the Cardinals.
On the bush.
I'm not going to go through all the things there. Right. You guys should go. You guys should try to go.
Bush, that's my last weekend before. There, buddy? I lost
okay,
connection.
Well, hold. We can figure that out. Maybe I'll make a trip there, but probably not. That's my last weekend before starting my job. But hopefully, Ryan, you can make it down there.
That'd be dope.
And then we got that Monday game is the makeup against the Angels. That's kind of the last one we'll look forward to here. Hopefully, we'll get another podcast in before then. Got anything else to wrap us up with, Ryan?
No, I mean, go Cubs. That's all I got.
Go Cubs. I'll go cheer him out from Houston.
All right. For me, you will, and I guess Jack, who can't say but. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
For real. Go Cubs.
Go Cubs.
You talk about a mass of happy humanity. How about that Cubby? Now our lives are complete. The Cubs are number one.